Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Here's a tweet from the president over the weekend. I just want to read it to you and then get some reaction from somebody a lot smarter than me. Here it goes. And I don't know if you've familiarized yourself with this site before, MAGAPIL. Wow, the president tweeted over the weekend. Even I didn't realize we did so much. Wish the fake news would report thank you. And then there's a retweet of something called @MAGAPIL, and there they have posted a list of all of the president's accomplishments in the first 10 months or so of his presidency. MAGAPIL, if you read through it or read about it, is one of these conspiracy theory super pro-Trump sites that you and I really haven't heard that much about. They have posted some things that would lead you to conclude that they're a racist or have racist views, but it's this, you know, little tiny thing out there that compiled a list of pro-Trump accomplishments, you know, some of which are accomplishments and some of which are things he's done. But there's this long list. And the president looked at that and said, wow, and retweeted it. That wasn't the only thing he tweeted over the weekend. I wanted to talk a little bit about all of this with Jane Kirtley, who has been kind enough to be our guest before. She's a media ethics professor at the University of Minnesota's Silla Center. Hi, Jane. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm very well, John. Thanks for having me back.
What did you make of that Trump per se, and are you familiar with that site?
I hadn't been until I saw this tweet, and I got to tell you, I mean, my immediate reaction is, oh, gosh, it's yet another one of these conspiracy sites. I mean, one of the things that really drives me crazy about sites like this is when they are perpetuating these false flag theories, that things like the shooting in Las Vegas was a false flag and stuff like that. I mean, it has no basis in reality. And, you know, for the president to suggest that they are a reliable source and mainstream media are not, I mean, I'm just dumbfounded. I'm left with no response other than you've got to be kidding me. But
it is a little ironic that while this is a site that says that, right, Las Vegas was some sort of conspiracy, some of this stuff doesn't happen. They also believe that Hillary Clinton has conspired to commit murder. And he contrasts them with the fake news of, say, CNN, and then suggests that this is more legitimate.
Yes. And, you know, this just goes back to this whole narrative of trying to undermine public confidence in the mainstream media, which you and I have talked about for a very long time, and throwing people's attention to these really dubious sites that, I mean, you know, by any objective measure, simply do not conduct any kind of fact-based reporting. They report what they feel like reporting, and most of it is stuff they've made up.
Okay, so the president also tweeted over the weekend, we should have a contest. Actually, this may have come out this morning. We should have a contest as to which of the networks, plus CNN and not including Fox, is the most dishonest, corrupt, and/or distorted in its political coverage of your favorite president, me. They are all bad. Winner to receive the capital letters now, fake news trophy! Exclamation point. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I have to say, I did laugh out loud when I read the part about your favorite president, parenthesis, me, just in case we wouldn't know who he was talking about. I mean, sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying. You know, again, another example of his unending drumbeat about how mainstream media are fake and only the one he likes, which is Fox, is real. You know, I don't know what to say, except that to me, it's conduct unbecoming the president to repeatedly tell people, you cannot trust the independent media. Believe me and me only, and all will be well. This is what dictators do. It's not what the president of the United States should be doing.
Do you think that that drumbeat is having any impact?
I'm confident that it is, based on the speaking I do outside of Minneapolis when I get out farther into the countryside, as it were. I mean, other parts of the country. I mean, I'm in, as you're in Chicago, I'm in Minneapolis. This is not considered either the left or the left coast or anything like that, but there are an awful lot of people out there. And I've read several news stories, and I'm sure you have too, in the last few days, where his supporters are still unrelenting in their support, and a lot of it is based on the fact that he's telling us the truth and the mainstream media are not. So this is a very effective line of attack. For me, it goes all the way back to Vladimir Putin. This is what dictators do. They try to destroy public trust in independent press, especially when they're being critical, as opposed to simply cheering on the president, which is not the role for an independent press.
Along those lines, the New York Times on Saturday ran a story that profiled a white nationalist, and they told his story rather neutrally, if you will. They didn't criticize, or even offer a lot of backdrop. They said, here's what life is like for somebody who identifies with the Aryan Nation. What did you make of that profile, and what did you make of the criticism of the New York Times for running that story?
Well, I agree with some of the comments that the Times itself and the author made after the fact, which was essentially that this was a story that wasn't fully cooked. I'm not calling it a half-baked story, but there was a little more work, I think, that needed to be done. You know, the author said in his commentary afterwards that he'd hoped that the answers to his questions would fall into his lap. Well, you know, if you're a journalist, you don't hope things are going to fall into your lap.
What was missing from the story, Jane?
Well, I think context was what was missing, and you know, I absolutely get this idea that their hope was to portray sort of the banality of evil, as the saying goes, and the superficial normal behavior of this guy.
Right.
So that, you know, this idea of the Nazi next door, I mean, that's an appealing idea, and I think it's a useful one. But, you know, there were several things that I would agree about the criticism in terms of things like they talked about this neo-Nazi group that he helped to found, but they didn't really explain what it was. It was not one I was familiar with, and I would have liked a little more context. Again, I think this is a difficult kind of story to tell. I think it's great that they were looking into it, but for me, the lack of context overall and explanation, and sort of assuming that everybody, you know, everybody reading this knows that what he's saying is outrageous, and let's just go on from there. I think what we've seen is that it's already played into the hands of some of this guy's adherents in terms of saying, see, even the New York Times says we're not so bad. And that, of course, is always a risk in any kind of story you write, but
yeah.
I think this is one that they might have been able to avoid that by doing a little more work on the story.
But the temptation to say this guy is bad, I think, is a trap that CNN too often falls in. I've watched CNN's interviews sometimes with right-wing politicians that I think should be embarrassing to the network. They're so combative. It's not at all about getting information. It's about pounding away on some talking points. And I think CNN does that way too much. So here's the New York Times. And they said, without judgment, we are going to tell you what life is like for a voice of hate in America's heartland. That's the title of the article. And lo and behold, they go to Applebee's or Olive Garden, just like you. And they even have NPR on sometimes. And they shop online, and they have a cat, and they have the kind of lives that a lot of us do. And then lo and behold, they go to a rally in Charlottesville. And those people are out there, and there are more of them. And I think it's valuable, rather than to vilify them, to simply tell their story.
No, I agree that vilification is not the answer, but sometimes people can reveal who they really are through their own words. And I saw a couple of readers' comments that I thought were pretty perceptive, and one of them was, you know, he talked about going to Charlottesville, and a great question to have asked would have been, and so how did you feel about what happened to Heather Heyer? You know, did you think that was a good thing, bad thing? You know, what did you think about it? He talked about how bad things are. Well, what do you mean by that? In other words, not to vilify. I mean, it's like asking the neutral question that I've asked of people that tell me that they supported Trump and voted for him. I say, well, how do you feel about that now? I think that's a pretty neutral question myself, and it's a way that I can, I hope, engage them in trying to figure out whether their thinking has evolved, whether they think they did a great thing in last year and they do it again. You know,
yeah.
Those are great questions, and I didn't get a sense that those questions were being put to this guy.
Fair enough, but I do like the idea, even if this is a fail. How many times have the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, how many times have the Washington Post, the big players, how many times have they actually tried to do this kind of story? I don't remember reading many attempts, and if this one was a failure, I hope they haven't given up on the idea, because I think it's important.
I absolutely agree with you on that. I think that this was, you know, it was a good try, and I'm not joining the chorus of those who say this they shouldn't have tried to do it at all, but I think it just needed some more work and some more context.
Two other things I want to bounce off of Jane Kirtley. She is with the Silla Center. She's a media ethics professor at the University of Minnesota. One is Time's Person of the Year. Somebody just sent me a text that I think is really good on this. Somebody they think is missing in this conversation that should be considered. And also, Jane, your thoughts about what the president said about CNN's damaging America overseas in a minute. We're talking to Jane Kirtley. She's a professor of media ethics at the University of Minnesota's Silla Center. She's been a regular guest on our show talking about things in the media, that is, the media per se. And I want to get to a couple of other things that the president tweeted, Jane. One is, he said, Fox News is much more important in the United States than CNN. But outside the U.S., CNN International is still a major source of fake news, and they represent our nation to the world very poorly. The outside world does not see the truth from them. What's your reaction to that comment to the world by the president?
That makes me so angry because I've been working in the area of press freedom and just civil society throughout the world since the Berlin Wall came down. And I can tell you CNN was critical in encouraging people in these countries to take hold of their own destinies. And to suggest that CNN is supposed to be representing the United States, I mean, in fact, of course, it does in a respect, but it's not a government organ. That isn't why it exists. And I think Trump's just completely wrong on that. I mean, there are so many things wrong with it, I don't even know where to begin. But the bottom line is, could CNN International be better? Yes, any news media organization could be better than it is. But personally, I think they're a powerful force for promoting democracy in the world.
A lot of people posted afterwards lists of people, journalists, killed in the international arena. You know, U.S. journalists killed overseas and international journalists killed in various war-torn countries covering the world, trying to present it. It's not an easy job. It's a perilous job. The president seems to have missed their mission, in my mind. I want to read you one other thing. He said, Time magazine, this may be the best one. Time magazine called to say I was probably going to be named Man Person of the Year, like last year, but I would have to agree to an interview and a major photo shoot. I said, probably is no good, and took a pass. Thanks anyway. What are you reading or hearing there?
Well, what I'm reading and hearing is that I doubt that that conversation even took place. But even if it did, clearly Time Magazine, now acquired by a new company, and we'll see what shape it takes in the future, which is another conversation, has its own reasons for making its choices. We know that the president has a colossal ego. We know that he thinks he's the most important person in the world. What more can I say? This is another manifestation of his unwillingness to be anything other than...
Should he be the person of the year? Should he be the person of the year?
You know, I saw somebody suggest that we ought to be naming journalists the people of the year, those who fight against fake news, that they should be the people of the year. I would not. I mean, certainly he's been an important force in the past year, but so have lots of people. He would not be my choice.
Well, I think I know why he's not your choice. I would make him my second choice. I have the same feelings about him that you do, but I think journalists should be one. Donald Trump should be two. Somebody texted this, though, and I think it's interesting. Time's Person of the Year should be all the women who have spoken out about their sexual harassments and assaults. They have had a great impact. Any other year, that would be it. That would be it. You know, women who are coming out, but...
If the criterion is what's capturing the public conversation, I would absolutely agree with that. But, you know, Time has its own choices, and I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
We'll visit with you another day, Jane Kirtley. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I know I do nothing but give you indigestion.
That's not true. It's very stimulating having these conversations. It's my pleasure. Thank you.